Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman.
What do you hold yourself responsible for?
I'm the founder and CEO of this company. Anything that happens in this company is my responsibility at the end of the day.
This is Elizabeth Holmes, CEO of Theranos, speaking on the Today Show about her company, which had promised a better and cheaper way to do blood tests. But over the past few months, she's gone from Silicon Valley superstar to explaining why her company is now under criminal investigation.
I feel devastated that we did not catch and fix these issues faster.
The tech industry is full of incredible fairy tale success stories. Self-made billionaires, one great idea that disrupts the market. Look at what Uber did to taxis, or Airbnb in the hotel industry, or Snapchat. Well, I'm still not sure about Snapchat, but that might be just because I'm old. But what happens if that thing that investors and users buy into doesn't work? With me is John Carreyrou, an investigative reporter for The Wall Street Journal, whose reporting has uncovered many of the problems at Theranos, and Sheila Kohatkar with Bloomberg Businessweek, who's profiled and interviewed Holmes. And John, what is happening at Theranos?
Well, Theranos is facing a number of challenges right now. The first is that it needs to convince the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is the federal agency that regulates clinical laboratories, that it can run a lab and that it can run a lab safely and do blood tests that are accurate and return blood tests to patients that are accurate and don't jeopardize the public health. Because right now, after its inspection last fall of the company's Newark, California laboratory, CMS deems that that lab and the way it's run is putting patient health and safety in jeopardy.
And they had partnerships with drugstores. So much is under investigation. And are we basically talking here maybe about fraud?
Well, that's the second challenge that the company is facing. We revealed the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of California is investigating the company and Elizabeth Holmes over whether it misled investors when it solicited their investments. And we reported that Walgreens, which is Theranos' main retail partner and its conduit to consumers, received subpoenas as part of this criminal investigation. And we also reported that another entity, which is the New York State Department of Health, also received subpoenas.
Sheila, Holmes is such a rarity in Silicon Valley. She's a female CEO. Can you tell me just a little bit more about Holmes?
Well, Holmes herself became something of a legend, and part of it is just because of her really compelling personal story. She dropped out of Stanford Engineering School to start this company. She managed very early and very young to amass a powerful board of directors, including people like Henry Kissinger and Bill Frist and William Perry.
George Shultz as well.
George Shultz, many other names like that. You know, these really high-level, well-connected, powerful older men who were well-connected in Washington who could sort of help her get her company off the ground. And she had this idea, and she just through force of will and the force of her personality and her charisma and, of course, her scientific talent, built this company up, and ultimately it was valued at $9 billion during its last fundraising round. And she has very much been pushed into the spotlight. It's a role she did embrace. I think perhaps she might have some second thoughts about that now. But because she was such a rare figure, she was this, you know, very intriguing young female running this huge
charismatic,
very, very smart, well-spoken. And, you know, magazines and TV networks and conference organizers were very eager to feature her prominently because she was so rare, this young woman running this huge Silicon Valley science startup.
I would just add that some of those media appearances were happening as I was reporting my October story and as I was seeking on a weekly basis an interview with Holmes about whether the company really was running blood tests on a drop of blood pricked from a finger with new technology, because my sources were telling me that the company was actually doing that for fewer than 15 tests out of the more than 240 it was offering consumers, and that those 15 tests run on the proprietary device that Elizabeth nicknamed Edison after Thomas Edison, that those tests weren't accurate, or at least that they had doubts about their accuracy and reliability. And then the other thing they were telling me is that all the other tests were being run on traditional laboratory machines purchased from companies like Siemens. And so the question was, you know, how is this that innovative.
Well, Sheila, if you take what John just said and also you pointing out this $9 billion valuation, are there lessons about Theranos that apply to the rest of Silicon Valley? It seems to be, give us the money and we will figure out later how to actually make this thing work.
We're in the tail end, perhaps, of a very frothy period in tech investing where you have a lot of companies filled with bluster and big promises. And they say, well, we're going to go out there and break things. We're going to ask for permission later. And we're just going to start our car service and we're going to worry about regulation later. And to some extent, I think that did happen a bit at Theranos. It grew really fast. It pushed pretty aggressively into all these areas. It made a lot of promises and statements about what it was doing. Investors were eager to give them money because there was a lot of capital floating around there looking for places to go. There's a lot of competition to find the next big Facebook investment. And in fact, moving fast and breaking things and asking questions later doesn't work very well, we are seeing right now, in a heavily regulated industry that deals with healthcare in particular. And so I think that is part of what's driven some of these problems.
It is part of it that what they're trying to solve is science. It's not, I want to make an app that'll bring food delivery to my home.
I think you are seeing a bit of a collision of, yes, the sort of tech, I'm making a new app, I'm making a new social network, there's a new music streaming service, and a much sort of harder type of science, which is we're going to help you diagnose your health issues. We are going to help you communicate better with your doctor and find out if you need to take blood pressure medication. Those are just not the same kinds of things. And I think you had a bit of a collision of cultures playing out here, and it has definitely caused some real challenges for the company.
That's right. And I would say that, you know, it's a lot less controversial to break things and disrupt things in the taxi industry than it is in healthcare if you're not being rigorous about the science, because healthcare and medicine are an arena in which, you know, ultimately the product can mean the difference between life and death. And, you know, blood tests are used to make, you know, 70% of decisions in healthcare. Doctors rely on them to make a lot of medical decisions, and you just can't afford to not get it right. I think that's the line that was crossed here by Theranos that has made this story so important.
John Cario with The Wall Street Journal, Sheila Kohatkar with Bloomberg Businessweek. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.